Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. And as I mentioned to you last week, I've got some very exciting things, new things happening this year with the show. And a little bit later in the broadcast, I'm going to let you in on what's coming up in 2014. But tonight, of course, January 16th, 2014, just 1 week shy, actually less than a week now, for the 2014 PGA Merchandise Show going on down in Orlando. And a lot of the guys have already, including my first guest tonight, is already down there and networking and getting to meet some of the other people in the business. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later on as well. But first this evening, my first guest is Mr. Lloyd Higley, and he's the Director of Instruction from the Chicago, Illinois area and the Chicagoland Golf Academy. He's going to be here talking a little bit about the five simple swing keys. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're just going to talk a little bit about golf in general and what some of the things that he's working on at his academy and with some of his fellow golf instructors. So without any further hesitation, let me welcome Lloyd to the program. Lloyd, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ted. Thanks a lot. Nice to be here.
Not a problem. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and I know that you're gearing up to see some great stuff down at the show this year, and hopefully, if Lord willing, I'll be joining you down there in a few more days, but we'll see how it goes. But Lloyd, let me just start off with an obvious question, and I ask this pretty much of every guest that comes on the program, is how did you get started? What sort of motivated you to get started in the golf business?
When I went to college, I originally was going to be a teacher, and that never panned out, and I've always liked teaching. And I was in the corporate world, and around 2001, after 9/11, the company I was working for cut back, and I was one of the people they cut back on. And I was doing some soul searching on what did I want to do with the rest of my life, and I was always into golf, and I was always into teaching, and I just saw that Billy Casper Golf had come to Chicago, and they placed an ad for assistant pros and pros and all that. So I put in an application, and I got accepted as an assistant pro at a small nine-hole golf course. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks later, you know, making $8.25 an hour, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And 2 weeks later, the general manager calls me up and says, hey, can you be at the golf course at 4 o'clock in the morning? And I says, well, it's my day off. He goes, but yeah, I'll be there. I show up at the golf course at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're going to fire the head pro. He says, I need you to keep your eye on the shop. Yeah, I'm going to need you to keep your eye on the shop. So they do that. They fire the head pro. I go in there and keep my eye on the shop, and they tell me, you know, we're going to hire another head pro, but in the meantime, you know, you're going to run the place for a while. You think you can do it? And I says, yeah, I can do it. 2 weeks later, they say, you know, you've been doing a great job. We're not going to hire the head pro. We're going to make you head pro. So now I'm in the golf business for 4 weeks, and I go from assistant pro to head pro. The next year, they transfer me over to another golf course, which was their premier golf course, and they said, we want you to learn how the golf business works at a big golf course. And right. I said, okay. So I was assistant pro there. The next year, they said, we just picked up another golf course that has a golf course, a driving range, and a miniature golf. We're going to make you you're going to be in charge of that. What title do you want? I said, I don't know. Make me director of golf. So within 3 years, I went from being assistant pro, head pro, and I was director of golf. Well, I've always wanted to teach golf. That's where my heart was at. I was, you know, older. I didn't want to be behind a counter, you know, checking in people, doing tee times. And Billy Casper Golf decided to create an arm of instruction for their Chicagoland area, and they called it Chicagoland Golf Academy. Asked me if I wanted to be involved in it, and I said yes, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow, fantastic. And you know, that's one of the neat things. There's a lot of great stories in this industry that, you know, I've had the pleasure of talking, as, you know, I was mentioning to you off air, a number of different people that some of us, you know, that we both know together, but You know, one of the interesting thing is, you know, you get into this business and doors can literally just open up overnight. And as you said, within a few short weeks, you're going from an assistant pro. Now you're the director of golf at, you know, a premier golf course up in the Chicago area. And that's, you know, there's guys that get into this business that can be working years before they get an opportunity like that. So obviously, you know, somebody was looking down on you from above and, you know, open those doors for you. But But that's fantastic. Let me just real quick before we go on here, just something that I want to do just to let the listeners know here. Obviously, you know, we are live here on blogtalkradio.com, and we're live from 6 p.m. Central Standard Time until 8 p.m. this evening. And if you're interested in, and want to call into the program at any point throughout either this early first segment with Lloyd or a little bit later on when my other guest comes on, you can do so by calling area code 646-716-4667. Or you can email me a question if you've got questions for anybody on the program or myself, or just maybe some topic information you'd like to have on future update programs. You can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. You can also, if you're surfing around on Facebook, I'd appreciate it if you visit me on Facebook at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog and throw a few likes my way. And, of course, jokingly, I say again, as I have for the last several weeks, I'm not a big user of Twitter, but I do use it. And I've been gaining quite an audience here in the last month or so, particularly just by doing this little plug. So I'm going to do it again. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Ted and Buck CEO. That's capital CEO on the end. That's Ted and Buck CEO is my Twitter handle. I would love if you would follow me here, and I'll keep you updated on some future guests and what's happening on Golf Talk Live. And of course, lastly, visit the Golf Talk Live blog at www.golftalkliveblog.com and check out some of the great books from previous guests that have been on, and also some of the products that you can buy for sale there on the website as well. So make sure you visit that. And join us here every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com. Lloyd, let me just go on here for a second about the Chicagoland Golf Academy. I know you said it was something that was sort of spurned by Billy Casper, but tell us a little bit about the Academy and what you've got to offer there.
Well, the Chicagoland Golf Academy, like I said, is the instructional arm of Billy Casper Golf in Chicago. Billy Casper runs, I'm not absolutely sure about how many right now, but pretty close to about 19 golf courses in the Chicagoland area. Most of them either have a driving range, you know, that you can go to. So we have an instructor at every course. The place that I'm at is called Diversity Driving Range, which is down by, it's really about 5 minutes away from the skyscrapers of Chicago. I mean, it's downtown Chicago. I can throw a golf ball from my range into Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful driving range, and it's actually one of the top five busiest driving ranges in America. I mean, it's constantly packed. And we have at that range, we have six different instructors, and we do everything from a lot of the programs that we do that we're real successful with is beginner golfers, where we do a 6 week class. You can come once a week, an hour and a half lesson that meets for 6 weeks. The last week is out on the golf course, and we take them from the beginning of, you know, beginners all the way to through the 6 weeks to take them out onto a golf course and get people involved in golf. And that's been real successful for us. I probably do about 300 people every summer that come through that type of program. And it's a great program to get people that have never golfed before involved in the game of golf. And the price of it is like, it's like $200. It's dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And you can spend, that's as many balls as you can hit. And it's a really great program. And the Diversity Driving Range is just, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's open at 7 o'clock in the morning. It stays open until 11 o'clock at night. You're right there out on the lake. And, I mean, you've got everybody from beginners to, you know, college to mini golf, mini tour players coming there. It's an awesome place.
Wow, fantastic. Now, I know you're part of the Medicus team. You know, you subscribe to the five simple keys. Let's talk a little bit about that. Explain to the listeners. Now, we've talked a little bit just before I let you go on. We have talked about it with some of the other guests on here, but I just want you to sort of add to it, if you will. Just explain a little bit to the listeners out there that are not familiar with that program, what it's all about, and some of the benefits that you've derived from being part of that team.
Right. Well, it started with Dave Wedzlik, Chuck Evans, and Eric, and it's from the Five Simple Keys DVD, which at one time I believe was the best-selling, number one-selling instructional DVD on the market. And the Five Simple Keys really is basically a progression of what we do when a student comes to us. You know, we look at what all the great golfers in the past have done and what are the commonalities of them, and then we try to to, you know, if somebody comes to your, you know, and they have a problem where they're, when they swing and they swing and they're swinging off their back foot. Well, we all know that you know, all good golfers, when they hit the ball, are going forward and most of their weight or pressure is on their left side. So you would look right at this student and you would say, this student, the key that seems to be messing them up the most is key number two. Their weight is not going forward. And then you'd start working on that. So you progress through the keys to try to help a person.
Right.
And as they get better with one key, that helps the second key. And when they get better with the second key, that seems to help the third key. And when they get better with the third key, then you work on the fourth and the fifth. You know, it's not a swing model. There is, you know, we don't have somebody like, you know, this pro here is the exact model of a five. It's nothing like that at all. I can teach certain things that I want to do. Chuck Evans can teach completely different. Dave Wetzlick can teach something completely different. There is no, you know, you got to do it this way. This is how it is. This is what it is. And the nice thing about Five Simple Keys Group, and I don't want to sound like it's a big sales pitch for them or not, but we have our own private little forum, and we have peer reviews every other month. You submit a lesson, and the other instructors can critique you on it and add suggestions, and you're able to learn from them, you know, what would have Chuck Evans have done? You know, what would Dave Wetzlick have done on this one? Or if I have a student that I'm having difficulties with, you know, I'll send a video to Chuck and say, hey, Chuck, you know, I'm having a trouble with this guy here. You know, he seems to be getting this here. I've done every drill I can come up with, and I just can't get him to do it. What would you suggest? And Chuck will throw out something that I'll say, oh, my God, why didn't I see that? Or thank, you know, so to have a resource of some great instructors that, you know, are that will give you as much knowledge as they have, and to be able to say, hey, listen, if I can't figure it out, I've got 15 other guys, you know, that can figure it out.
Right.
And between the 15 of us, we're going to do it. So it's a great resource to be able to have a group of guys that you can talk to.
Right, and that's a big plus, you know, for any student, for somebody, especially a beginner, because, you know, one of the advantages of being able to draw from that sort of a resource as an instructor is, number one, you're utilizing more than just one set of eyes. You know, it's not just your eyes looking at that student. If you run into difficulties, which we all do as instructors, in my case, what I do a lot of times is I'll refer to some other instructors that I know, and I'll say to them, you know, the same thing in a sense. I mean, I'm not part of that specific team, but, you know, I have instructors that I would go to, and I would say, okay, here, have a look at this video. I've been working with so-and-so, you know, what do you see here? And you know, see if we're kind of on the same page. And a lot of times, just a different viewpoint and a different perspective can sort of open up your eyes and say, well, yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't really see that the first time around. And being able to exchange that. So this is a great format. And obviously, it reaps a benefit to the students big time because it gives them that sort of extra ammunition to work with, as well as you as the, you know, the principal instructor in that group. Now, let me ask you something with respect to the Five Simple Swing Keys. If let's say as an instructor, if somebody wanted to become part of that team, how would they go about do that? And is that a possibility if somebody wanted to become part of that team?
Yeah. The person to contact would either be Chuck Evans or Dave Wetzlick. I know that they're actually doing a director's program certification down here in Orlando for the show, and I think they have one spot left open for it. But yeah, contacting me, contacting Dave Wetzlick, contacting Chuck Evans, and we can put you in touch with the people to do it. It's a great group of people. I mean, and not to get off that subject, but you know, the Golf Teaching Professionals Facebook page, that's, you know, it's a closed group, but it's only open to golf teaching professionals, and I'm sure you've been there and taken a look at it, and that is another wonderful resource. I mean, there's, you know, over, you know, 1,500, 2,000, I don't even know what the number is, of members or instructors on that page, and the information that is exchanged and flowed between all these instructors is just incredible.
Well, and the nice thing, and you're right, and actually just to expand on that a little bit more, really the premise of my program from its inception last year was really to take what we all see on Facebook in these different groups and put it on the air. You know, it's great to chat, and you're right, it's a valuable tool. But now the people that are going through this group, not just the average golfer that maybe sees that, but also other instructors, it's a great way to exchange information through these different groups. And what I've tried to do with this program is sort of pull it out of the social media. And that doesn't mean I want to eliminate it, but sort of further enhance it. So the guys that are in these different groups on Facebook and Twitter and you know, LinkedIn and this sort of thing can now come on this program and share that information with the general public. In other words, to be able to help them with their game. Yeah, and that, and that's what really I'm trying to do with this program, and that's why I've sort of sought a lot of the professionals. But you're right. And the nice thing about these groups, and obviously everybody's professional in there when they do this, but one of the nice things about this group is sometimes a question or a comment will get posed, and there will be some opposition to it, which is good. I mean, it's healthy. It's good to have a debate and, you know, clarification. And, you know, nobody has to worry about, you know, fist flying or anything like that. Again, we're all professionals. But it's but it's good to have that. And that's something that I want to do with, you know, the next phase of this program, which is coming up in a couple of months, Coach's Corner, which you're going to be coming back, by the way. Lloyd is going to be participating in that in the next couple of months. And that's something else that I want to do is, again, have a number of different instructors and coaches on the program at one time and allow the listeners to be able to tune in and be able to call in and email in questions to be able to do that. So that's one of the great tools, and it's great to have that resource available, not only on Facebook, but obviously in this forum as well. And it's great that you're part of a team that, that want to encompass that type of you know, ideology, if you will, of having instructors come together instead of everybody just sort of doing their own thing. So it's a great great format that you guys have put together, and hats off to Chuck and to Dave and yourself and the rest of the members there. Let's see if we can help some golfers tonight, Lloyd, while we're here. For those listening in, I'm here with my very special guest, Lloyd Higley, from the Chicago, Illinois area. He's a director of instruction up at the Chicagoland Golf Academy, and obviously works, as he indicated earlier, at the Diversity Range there in Chicago. Got a great view of Lake Michigan, and don't have to worry about hitting golf balls in there, but get a great view while you're while you're working on your game. Let's talk about something that's I think one of the common, very common things with most golfers, especially the amateur golfers, and that's some of the mistakes that we see on the first tee. What are some of the common mistakes that you see, not just with students, but golfers, when you're out playing and you see them and they get on that first tee? What are some of the common mistakes?
Obviously not warming up. You know, I used to play in a foursome with these three other guys, and two of them would be, you know, pulling into the parking lot, and the other two guys would be standing on the first tee ready to go. You know, so obviously not warming up at all. You know, at least getting some sort of a swing in there, stretching out a little bit. You know, everybody has first tee jitters. You know, I still get them a little bit. You know, Tiger Woods says he still gets them. The other thing that I think that people do is that they, you know, besides being nervous, because obviously there's other people that are waiting because they're teeing off next and all that, is that they don't use the tee box correctly, you know. Their alignments are off, you know. They're setting themselves wide open, and they're, you know, they're aiming way down on the left side, but they're lined up on the left side, you know. Well, line up over there on the right side and aim down that left side, because he's playing his, you know, slice, where he doesn't realize that he's actually making himself slice because he's taking his path way outside in and all that stuff. But besides that, you know, using the tee box, I when I take my first my beginners out and my even my advanced players out, and we line up on the first tee box, you know, especially the beginners, you know, a lot of these ladies, I say, you know, we've all been hitting balls and we're hitting a driver now, and you know, usually when you guys hit a driver, where does your ball go? And they'll, you know, they always go, oh, it always goes over there to the right, it slices and that. And I says, okay, so where would you want to line up? You know, so they line up over onto the left side over there. And so I point and I says, okay, now if the ball goes straight, it's going to go there on along the left side. But if it slices, it's going to go where? Right into the trees over there. Now, if you line up on the right side over here and you aim off to the left and it slices, it's going to slice right into the middle there. And if it doesn't slice, it's going to stay along that tree line there and it shouldn't go into the trees. You know, things like that. And not being prepared. You know, just not being prepared when they get up to the first tee is probably the biggest thing that you can I could say about most golfers that I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me just interject a couple of things that I see in my years of being in the golf business. Probably one of the biggest things, in addition to what you've just said, that I've seen is everybody just assumes, regardless of what level they're at. Now, obviously, the lower handicap golfers can get away with this, but some of the higher handicap golfers that are maybe not confident with their driver, depending on the hole they're playing, if it's a wide open hole, you can get away with it. But
yep.
If you're playing a course, especially the older style courses where they're very tight fairways and you're not very accurate off the tee with a driver, the smart thing to do, especially on the first hole, now maybe a little bit later on you can do that, but the first hole you want to build confidence. And to go out and pull out the big stick because that's what all your buddies are doing, you know it's going to go into the trees or you know it's going to go in there. Be smart about it and take maybe a fairway wood or even go – with a 5-iron or something
iron.
If you have to. Exactly.
Yep.
You know, just something that's going to, that you're more accurate with, that you're going to get it out and play it and get that first chi jitters, as you said, out of the way. Because a lot of them, what they'll do is, as I said, they'll pull out the big dog and, you know, they're grip it and rip it type, John Daly type mentality. And the first thing they do is they've whiffed it off into the trees or they've, you know, hooked it or whatever their standard shot is.
Yeah, right.
And
right
away, they've already, you know, sort of started the round off bad.
Behind
the
eight ball.
You know,
behind the eight ball.
Exactly.
Yep.
And to me, I've always tried to explain to my students, it's okay to choose a club that's going to put you in play and build that confidence. Because if you're hitting from the fairway from the first tee and you're hitting it out to the fairway, even if you're 30 yards back from your playing partners, you're still okay because you're now got a clean lie. You're going to have a set up for a second shot. And even if it's on a par five, if it takes you four to get to that green, if you're not a long hitter, that's okay. At least you're getting to the green in regulation. But if you're, you know, playing from the woods and you're taking mulligans or you're hitting a provisional ball all the time.
Hey, hitting a tree, getting
me,
out. And
exactly. And especially in some of these newer courses and that too, where there's a lot of, fairway bunkers and things like that. These guys just get up there, and I see it time after time. The ladies are a lot, I must admit, Lloyd, are certainly much smarter about it. They tend to be not as full
macho.
Of, know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Yeah.
But that to me is one thing that I see quite often. And I even had friends, you know, over the years that have done that, and I used to say to them, guys, come on, you know, be smart about it. You know, golf is not a physical a game the way that some people think it is. It's a mental game. I mean, Jack Nicklaus didn't get around the golf courses because he was a big physical brute. He got around there because he thought his way around the course, and that's why he was so successful. And, you know, I mean, obviously he was able to pull off a lot of shots, but if he knew that there was a situation that he was not going to execute, with his driver, the best shot available, he would back off and go to a long iron. I mean, those days they were playing with, you know, more of a long iron, but now you've got things like hybrids, you've got – you know, all kinds of club selection out there to choose from. So that's one thing that I would do. And the other thing as you said, definitely warm up. You know, warm up, practice, get to that range. If you're rolling it out of the parking lot and running to the first tee, and, you know, you don't even have a chance to go and visit the restroom before you get there, you know, you're dancing around that first tee, you're not going to have a good round. You're going to start off bad, and it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the other things that I was going to mention is that's one of the first things I tell my students on the first tee, especially the beginners or the high handicappers and all that. I says, you don't have to hit driver. You're standing here. You're on the first tee. You're nervous as it is. It's your fifth time out on a golf course. There's 15 men behind you that are waiting to tee off, and they're all looking at you. Pick out the club you hit the best. Pick out the club you hit the best. Get off of that first tee, get out there with your three girlfriends, and once you guys are out there and away from everybody, then you can start relaxing into the game. Then get into the game. Then you can try a driver. You got nobody watching you. Just get off that first tee nice and smooth, get down the fairway. The course that I take them to is the first hole is a par five. So just take a 5-iron out there. Whatever club you hit the best, get away from everybody looking at you, get into the game, start enjoying the people that you're with, and then start doing it. That's great advice. Great advice.
Well, and it takes a, you know, the idea is that they need to take the pressure off, and that sort of follows into the next question, which was really how would you approach a golfer with first tee jitters, and that would probably be, in my opinion, one of the things that I would suggest to them to do is to, you know, take a club that they know that they're confident they can hit well and get it out into the fairway. And even if it only ends up going, you know, 150 or 175 yards, if that's the best that they can hit that particular club with, it's better to be straight and maybe a little bit shorter than to hit it, you know, 270 yards, but you're 45 yards to, you know, to the right or the left.
Tree.
And,
crazy.
And in the trees or you know, some other mess. But that would be probably something that I would do. Kind of staying along that lines of mistakes, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to penalize the listeners out there and assuming that everybody's out making mistakes, but there is a lot of that going on, and we see it as instructors all the time. What are some other common mistakes that you're seeing? Let's first start off when you're working with them on the range. What are some things when you're getting ready, especially with, a new student, what are some things that you see? You haven't actually approached them yet. You're sort of walking up and you're seeing them warm up because everybody does it. They want to warm up with a few shots before the instructor comes. What are some things that you see them doing wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, there's the obvious things of, you know, grip, bad posture, you know, alignment and things like that. One of the biggest things that I see and what I try to give with my students is this notion of grabbing a ball and hitting it and grabbing another ball and hitting it and grabbing another ball and hitting it. It's like they don't even wait for that first ball to land, and they're already reaching for the next ball. And, give yourself some time, step back, line yourself up, practice like you play. Nobody hits golf balls 2 seconds apart when they play golf. You got 15 minutes in between your next shot. I don't have to say you got to sit there and take 15 minutes between your shots on the range, but take 5 minutes. Take a different club. Don't hit 5-iron, 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 5-iron. That's like going to the batting cages. I could put the batting cages on 100 miles an hour, and maybe after 15, 20 swings, I got the timing down, I could hit 100 miles an hour, and I'm good enough to go to the major leagues because I can hit 100 mile an hour fastball. That ain't going to happen.
Right.
He's going to throw you a 78 mile an hour curveball. You know, so practice like you play.
Right, exactly. And you've got to use a little bit of imagination. One of the other things that I see too, Lloyd, when I'm approaching a student that especially for the first time, a lot of times what I will do is I will step back. When I know that student's out there, you know, a lot of times I'll purposely, you know, set them up with the balls and ahead of time so they can just go right to the range and hit a few to warm up. And I want them to do that because I want to observe before I really engage in a lesson to see, you know, what their sort of practice habits are. And the other thing that I see quite often is, you know, some of them, they might, you know, hit a wedge or two because that's what they've heard. They've heard the pros talk about hitting a wedge. But then right away they gravitate to that driver and they start – it's like they want to make sure they hit that driver well for when I come up there. And, you know, what I like to do is I like to see them stretching a little bit. Now, some people will do that in the parking lot before they get the lesson. That's fine if they've done that. But if not, I want to see them stretching and warming up a little bit. And maybe just forget about hitting a ball, but just maybe swing a club or two, you know, just sort of feeling the weight of that club and just sort of relax and forget about hitting balls for a few minutes and do that before I get up there. And then, you know, work with some of the shorter clubs, you know, like a wedge or a 9-iron even or something like that. Don't grab for the driver because they get there and they're just, you know, trying to belt that thing a mile away. And like you said, it's before the ball has even come close to landing. I think what happens is this. This is my take on it, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I think what most people do is when they hit that shot, they see about the first 100 yards, and if it's not the way that they envision it in their head, right away they give up on the shot. That's a bad shot. It's not going the direction they wanted. So right away they're reaching down for the next ball. Now, if it's a really good shot and they've hit it nice, they'll take an extra second or two. They'll watch it to see, to sort of savor the moment. But if they know as soon as it comes off that club face that they've topped it or something like that, they don't take a second and take a deep breath and then move into the next one. They're just like rapid fire.
Let me tell you a little story of just a little thing about that. I'm not sure 100%, but I believe it was the UNLV golf coach talk to a psychologist or a, you know, one of those type of people with his golf team. I think it was when Ryan Moore and all those guys were on that team when they had a really good team. And what he used to make them do was they would hit a shot and they couldn't take their eye off the shot until the ball stopped rolling. So they stood there, held their pose. And you've heard this before from other people, and I don't think students ever get it through their head. You learn as much or more from a bad shot as you do a good shot.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. Sit there and allow the body and the mind to have that shot wash over. I do lots of feel stuff with my students, and I'll make them tell me, I says, where did you hit that ball in the face? Was that off the toe? Was that off the heel? Was that center? Did you hit the ball in the forehead? Did you hit the ball in the nose? Or did you hit the ball in the mouth? You know, tell me what it was after every swing. I want you to feel where that club head is, and I want you to feel what type of hit that was. And to be involved in your practice, every shot, be involved in every shot, your whole body, just allow it to wash over you and take something away. You don't have to give me a dissertation about it, and if you didn't happen to get that one, that's fine. Let's go to the next one. But don't sit there and be Mr. Robotic. And the final thing, what you were just talking about, because I do the exact same thing as I watch people before they hit balls and all that stuff, is I walk up to them as they're hitting them, and when they're going, I says, well, so what's your target? I don't have a target.
Yeah.
Well, no. How do you know that? How do you know what the ball is doing? I gave a lesson to a guy. A guy came up to me one time, and I was walking away from a lesson. He says, hey, listen, can you help me out? And I was really dead tired, and I wanted to get out. It was like 10 o'clock at night, and I was saying that. I said, well, he goes, whatever you want. I'll pay you whatever you want. Just take a look at me. I said, well, I'll look at you for free. You know, let's go take a look. What do you got there? And he's lining up, and I'm watching where he's lined up to and all that stuff, and he's lined up perfectly, I'll just say, the blue flag. And he's hitting ball. And he goes, why do I keep hitting it to the right? And I says, dude, you're hitting the ball dead straight. You're hitting it exactly where you're aimed. It is dead straight to where you're hitting at. And so I put the sticks and I do all the little bit things and I show him this, you know, open up the stance just a tad, you know, la di da di da. He's got a short iron, so he's going to be swinging, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, my God, I've been sitting here for 40 minutes trying to figure out why I keep hitting that ball 20 yards to the right, and the whole time I've been hitting it straight. And I says, yeah. I said, that'll be $50. You
know? I'll tell you something else, too, Lloyd, that I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen it as well. And this is something really that I want the listeners to focus in on. I'll watch, you know, a student that I'm getting ready to teach. And they'll get up there, and you know, in addition to hitting ball after ball after ball, they'll just get there and they'll, you know, put the tee in the ground and they'll put the ball on and they'll hit it. And then I'll walk up and, you know, after the introductions and that, we'll talk for a minute and kind of get an idea of what they're looking to accomplish with the lessons. And then I'll say, okay, go in and hit. And, you know, hit the shot that you want to hit. And they will go through the most regimented pre-shot routine you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll say, okay, you know, hit another one or two, and they'll go through the same thing. And the first thing I'll ask them, I'll say, let me ask you a question. Is that your pre-shot routine? And, you know, of course, their answer is yes. And I'll say, well, you hit about 8 or 9 balls before that, before we started this lesson. Why didn't you do that routine then? And their answer to me is usually, well, I was just sort of practicing around. And I'll say, exactly. Regardless of whether you're just hitting balls at a driving range, you should practice your pre-shot routine, same as if you were on the first tee or any other tee or any other shot on the golf course. And it's interesting that they wait and choose at the time when the instructor is there to make it look like they're doing it right. But when nobody's watching, they fall back into those routines. So what are some things that you try to do to encourage your students to follow that sort of logic? And what do you say to them to encourage them to do that each time?
Well, in my classes, well, in even individual lessons and that, you know, every lesson, every time that we hit a ball. There's the obvious thing. There's the block practicing, you know, where you're hitting one ball, one ball, one ball, one ball, when you're working on one specific thing. So maybe we're saying, you know, just I'm just throwing something out of your blue sky. You know, your right elbow, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, we're going to hit some balls here. Now, all I want you to do is focus on your right elbow. We're moving this here. We're trying to get this spot here on the downswing here, right about where to, you know, hip high to hip high and all that. And so then that's fine. That's block practicing. You picked out one specific thing that you're working on. Or you may say, hey, I'm going to work on my little 40-yard, you know, one bounce and check shot. That's what I'm going to work on today. Or I'm going to work on my driver. You know, I'm going to work on hitting a draw. I'm trying to learn how to get an inside, you know, inside out, you know, path. And I'm going to try working on my draw. That's all I'm working on. That's block practicing. That's fine and dandy. But when you want to practice playing golf, we have to do, and this is, I do this with my students all the time, we are going to pick out, and we have a bunch of targets out there, and we're just going to, I'm just going to randomly say, okay, we're going to the yellow flag there. Okay, we're going to go to the yellow flag. You don't hit another ball because the next ball, we're going to the blue flag over there. So you're using a different club, a different target each time. Okay, now we're going to the white flag over there. Different club, different target. We're taking time. And what I'll do with my classes is we make foursomes, and we play two holes of golf. And I'll say, okay, the edge of the fairway is there, the red flag, and the edge of the fairway is the red flag on that side there. So there's our fairway there. Who's up first? Mm-hmm. And we make a foursome, and I make that foursome go off, and I make the other, you know, six, seven students sit behind them, and we say, we're all going to watch you. So I give them the idea of what it's like to be on first tee jitters. So that person goes right up there, and they hit their shot, and then the next person, okay, so you hit your shot there. We're playing the first hole at Robert Black. That's the par five. You know how that dog leg's there? Well, you just hit a slice, so mm-hmm. where are you? Well, I'm in the trees. Okay, your next shot, when it comes around to your turn, is you got to chip out of the trees. And so I want you to chip this ball to the, you know, 40-yard flag out there, the yellow flag. I want you to chip that to that yellow flag. Now you're back in the middle of the fairway. Now what do you got? You've got 225 yards to the green. You're not going to be able to hit a 225 yards, but I want you to lay up. What's your favorite club? Oh, I love my 8-iron. How far do you hit your 8-iron? Oh, I hit it 125 yards. Okay, well, you're 225 yards out right now. What I want you to do is I want you to hit me a 100-yard shot and leave yourself 125 yards into the green. Okay, great.
Right.
So I try to put the practice, you know, to play like you practice. That's the yeah. best way, I think, in order to do that. It's just the way I like to do it.
Well, and I think that's so critical. I mean, most of the, you know, in fact, pretty much all of the other instructors that I've had on the program here in this last year have pretty much the same thing. Is they want
right.
to see their students practice with purpose.
Right.
You know, you have to have a purpose. Practice is probably, I mean, obviously you need to get out there. You need to play, you know, rounds
yep.
of golf and put it in, you know, into actual play. But the practice
right.
session is your chance as a student, for you listening out there, pay attention to this. This is your time as a student to go out on the practice tee and the ranges that are made available for you to work out the kinks and the bugs and to get some professional help, not out on the golf course. And too often, that's
right.
another thing that I see out there as well, is, you know, somebody will hit a bad shot and they'll be sitting there and they're working on all the stuff that the instructor told them out on the golf
right.
course, which is a no-no because, first off, we're
yeah.
trying to, you know, get around slow play here, but that's one of the things that's causing it. But also, too, if you start getting mechanical in your thought process when you're out playing a round of golf, you're going to end up
yeah.
having a bad round because you're going to start
yeah,
overcompensating and things like that. Save that for the driving range and for your lessons.
Yeah.
And probably,
yeah.
I would say the last thing, Lloyd, that I've noticed, and I'm sure you've experienced this, and I think we all have in this business,
yeah.
Probably the number one problem that I see with most students is lack of practice. They'll come and they'll take a lesson. You'll give them
yep.
some tips and some things to work on.
Right.
And 2 weeks later or what have you, when you've set up for the next lesson, you'll ask them what they've been, you know, working on, how they've been, you know,
right.
what results they've been getting, and it's every excuse in the book comes out. And I understand people
yep.
are busy,
yep.
and I understand schedules, but you need to afford yourself that time because you're not going to get better if you don't do that.
No. Yeah, what you're saying about the practice, you know, you cannot think your way through a golf swing. If you're out on the golf course and you're thinking as you're swinging, you are in big trouble. you are in big trouble. If you're walking to that next and you're saying, oh, I got to get my right hip going over this, I got to do my this, I got to get the left, oh, my God, I'm not doing this, blah, 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 blah. You got all this chatter going on in your mind as you're playing, you're going to have a bad day. You're just going to have a bad day. You've got to let that go. And actually, which brings me to a subject that I was – that when you asked me about how I got into golf instruction a couple of years after I was really into golf and all that, I went out and spent time with Fred Schumacher of Extraordinary Golf, and just a fantastic human being, a great guy. And, you know, one of the things that he's always talking about is you got to get the mind out of it. Let the body do what the body wants to do. Get the mind out of the golf swing. And you know, you cannot have too much chatter going on in your head. It's a killer. It's a killer. Once you get down that path as you're playing golf, it just seems to go downhill for everybody.
It's probably the equivalent of the dark side in golf to throw a little Star Wars analogy in there. You know, something else too that Lloyd that you know I think is important for the listeners out there to understand. You know, one of the reasons, as I said, that I've sort of brought the show to the airwaves is I want to, and I'm sort of leading into what we talked about off air. One of the segments that I'm coming out with in March, which I know you're going to come back and participate in, Coach's Corner, is I want the average golfer out there, and especially the high handicappers who are struggling with their game, wanted to provide a format for them to call into a program or email or what have you, whatever method they want to use. We're going to make quite a few available. But to be able to tap in to a resource of instructors. And, you know, there's a lot of great blogs and there's a lot of great websites out there, but a lot of times there can be some misinformation or misunderstandings because sometimes when it's not always easy to put down what you're trying to explain in print. And a lot of times it takes you to really sort of, you know, listen to what the instructor is explaining and let them sort of, you know, explain it in layman's terms, if you will. But to be able to take that knowledge and also to be able to introduce products and things that are going to help you with that practice session. But the most important thing I think, you know, that I want to get across with this program is the fact that you have to practice. You have to take these tips that we're going to be giving you over the next little while. You have to take these and implement them in your own practice sessions so that when you go to the range, the only thing, much like Nicklaus did in his game, he didn't think about all the things that he worked out on the range. When he got to that first tee, he looked at the shot that he wanted to make, and he executed it. And even if it didn't come off quite the way he wanted, which most cases it did, he didn't sit there and think, okay, what did I do wrong? He went on and thought about, what do I have to do now to make the next shot? And he did that, and he thought his way around the course, and that was how he was successful. Because if you look at Jack Nicklaus's record, his short game was not the best short game out there. I mean, he was certainly comparable, but there were a lot of better wedge players than Nicklaus ever was, but he had a great mind, much like Tiger Woods does today, thinking his way around the golf course. And this is where the average person falls short.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Nicklaus that I read this. I'm actually positive it was. I believe he said one time that he has never once during practice or around the golf before he hit a shot visualized it first ahead of time, and that is so important for high handicap or for all golfers to go up to that shot already seeing it in your head. You've already executed that shot in your head. That allows the body to say, hey, you know what, now I know what you want me to do. The mind has to let the body know, this is what I want you to do. Once the body knows, okay, the mind has told me what it wants to do, then the mind gets out of it and let the body just do what the mind just told it to do or visualize.
Right, because
visualization is so important.
Exactly, because the body really naturally, once you have the key components of the golf swing put together, you know, from your instruction, you know, the body naturally is able to move and flow the way it needs to. But what happens is
let the mind get out of the way.
Of overthinking. Exactly. Yep. The mind needs to get out of the way. Exactly. And that's where instructors such as my guest this evening here, Lloyd, you know, I want the listeners to get that information from you. And obviously when you come back in a couple of months on the Coach's Corner segment. Lloyd, let's just let the listeners here in the last few minutes let them know where they can get in touch with you if they're interested in your area, if they want to contact you for some lessons, or if they want to, you know, maybe if they're going to be down, some of the other fellow instructors down at the PGA show, we can talk about that as well. But let the listening audience know if they're interested in going to be up in your area, where they can get in touch with you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my website got hacked, so my website is now down for repair. But anybody can reach me at LloydHigley@gmail.com, ChicagolandGolfAcademy.com. I'm going to be down in Orlando. I'm teaching. I can teach at three or four different courses in the Orlando area. And then in April, middle of April, I'm back in Chicago up until Chicago until October, and then I come back down to Florida for the wintertime. So, you know, one of the things that I like to do, I'm pretty open as far as sending out free videos, or, you know, if a listener has a question and says, hey, listen, Lloyd, you know, I've been doing this, this, and this, I'll be more than happy. Send me an email. I'll send you a little video on it. We'll talk about it, things like that. But LloydHigley@gmail.com or through ChicagolandGolfAcademy.com or through Five Simple Keys, Pure Striker, Five Simple Keys.
Okay. Sounds good. That's
or Facebook.
Excellent. Now,
or
as
Facebook,
you...
yeah.
Right. I mean, that's one of the great things. I mean, obviously, I know that you've, as we all have, had to get into this world of social media in order to keep ourselves active and up to date. And it's a great thing, you know, as I joked at earlier there about, you know, Twitter, and that I don't use Twitter as much as I'm sure a lot of other guys do, but I do like to get that information out there. And obviously, there are a lot of people that enjoy that and using that format. And obviously, much like you, I'm in Facebook all the time and trying to
right.
keep everybody up to date and what's happening with the program and some of the things that I'm doing. It's just a great I look at it really as a weapon. You know, it's an arsenal that we have as in the golf business. And actually, the golf business, as many advancements as they're making, are still further behind than many other industries in that format.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're sort of catching up. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff coming out there and a lot of new training aids and a lot of great instruction in different areas, of course. You know, you can't get into everything in one show, but there's a lot of great things in the physical fitness end of it, a lot of great things in you know, good nutrition.
Biomechanics.
All of that stuff is
–
exactly. So there's a lot of great things, areas of golf, and if you're interested in and getting in touch with Lloyd, you can certainly email him at LloydHigley@gmail.com or through the ChicagolandGolfAcademy.com. website. You can get in touch with Lloyd there if you're going to be up in the Chicago, Illinois area, or if you're going to be down during the cooler months in the Orlando, Florida area, shoot Lloyd an email there first and let him know you're going to be in the area, and he'll try and connect with you and help you out with your golf game. Lloyd, thank you very much for coming on Golf Talk Live tonight and just talking a little bit about this great sport that we both admire, golf, I'm looking forward to having you come back, as I say, in just a little over month and a half, I guess. You'll be coming back as one of, I think, one of the first guests on the show to help some of the listeners.
April show, right?
Yeah,
that'll be great.
I think it's April. I can't remember offhand. I've got dates on the thing, but I think it's April, I think, is your first date that you're going to be coming on. But I'm certainly glad that you're going to be participating in that. I think it'll be a lot of fun once we get some our audience and that going. Right now, they're kind of sitting, waiting in the wings, listening, and I'm trying to, you know, to gear up for that program. I don't want to get it too much ahead of time, so I'm trying to get them geared up and excited for that. So we're going to be sending out some things, and I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that later in the show. But, Lloyd, I want to thank you. Now, one last thing I do want to talk about,
because
you mentioned it a few times, and we've talked about it. You're going to be down at the PGA show. What are some things that you're going to be doing down at the show in the next week?
Well, a couple of certification things, my own personal stuff to improve my golf instruction. But the biggest thing is a Tuesday evening at Orange County. I think it's Orange County Country Club or something like that.
Right.
But there's an open forum. It'll be the second time that we've done it. Of about 150 to 200 of the top golf instructors in the world are going to be there. And we're going to have panels from with golf biomechanics, PhDs like Dr. Kwan, Sashio McKenzie, all these physicists and PhDs who have helped out a bunch of us golf instructors by sharing their information on the science of the golf swing and the biomechanics of the golf swing. And then there's going to be another three-hour open forum group where all of us golf instructors just talk about golf instruction and how do we help our students. It's a great, great thing put on by Nick Surchak and Chris Como and Michael Molaskis from Michael's also a Five Simple Keys guy. But a great thing there. That I'm looking forward to that. That's on Tuesday of this week, next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Well, Lloyd, as I said to you earlier, I'm going to do my best to make sure I get down there, and if I do, I'll make sure that I touch base with you and get a chance to connect while we're there. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So you keep yours fingers crossed that I make it down there.
I am too.
But anyways, Lloyd, thank you again for coming on the program on Golf Talk Live. I appreciate your time, and you go and enjoy the PGA Show, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Ted.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Okay, for those of you just tuning in a little bit later in the program, that was my very special guest, Lloyd Higley, the Director of Instruction for the Five Simple Swing Keys, the Pure Strike. He's also up at the Chicagoland Golf Academy. You can get him at lloydhigley@gmail.com. You can get in touch with him, and if you're going to be down at the PGA Show, certainly send him an email and let him know you're going to be there. And if you're interested, maybe while he's down in the Orlando area through the winter months, he's going to be here for a little bit longer. He has some facilities down there that he can work with and help you with your game. So make sure you get in touch with Lloyd. So, Lloyd, thank you again for being on the show tonight, and we will certainly look forward to having him back on the program in a couple of months for Coach's Corner. My next guest, I'm just going to take a quick little message here, and then I'm going to introduce my next guest. He's coming on tonight. His name is Scott Nye, and he is the Director of Instruction. He's a professional golfer for the Tourbound Golf Academy, and he's going to be coming on talking about Robo Golf Pro, which is a robotic swing trainer, which is a really fantastic, innovative, cutting-edge piece of equipment that he's going to be talking here, and it's a great training aid. And I'm going to bring him on here in just a second, but I just want to mention very quickly for those of you that a little bit later in the year in September want to go to the Ryder Cup, there's a great organization over there called sportseventsaccommodations.com. And if you're interested in looking to rent property during the Ryder Cup, the 2014 in Perthshire, Scotland, we certainly found the place, perfect place for you. Sports Events Accommodation has a stunning range of properties varying in size and shape, so they will definitely be something there to suit you. The team has many years in the sport and renting accommodation, and it's their aim to provide you with your renting requirements for the biggest team of golf event in the world at an affordable price. So if you're interested, you can certainly visit their website at sportseventsaccommodation.com, or you can send to an email. You can email them at info@sportseventsaccommodation.com. And if you're interested in going over to Scotland to catch some of the Ryder Cup, certainly well worthwhile, and they've got some great, I've been on their website, they've got some great properties, so definitely want to check them out. As I said, my next guest is the Director of Instruction, and he's a professional golfer, Mr. Scott W.R. Nye. Scott has entered the PGA Apprentice Program in 1989 and is acknowledged by pros and amateurs alike as one of the top teachers in the world. So I'm going to bring him on here and introduce him officially, and we'll go from there. Good evening, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Scott, I was just, while you were off on hold there, I was just introducing you to the listening audience here, and I want to welcome to Golf Talk Live. And I know that you wanted to come on and talk a little bit tonight about the Robo Golf Pro robotic swing trainer. So let me just first, let's give the audience a little bit of background on you. Tell them a little bit about your history in the golf business, and then we'll get right into what you wanted to talk about this evening.
Well, I got in because I, for the love of the game, caddying, and caddying helped put me through college, and then I pursued playing golf for a living, which we all know is a difficult task, and along that road, I found it comforting teaching other people, knowing how frustrated it was myself trying to make a living at it. And I've just always been a better teacher than a player. But, you know, that playing drug always seems to stick with us, journeyman golf professionals. And, you know, I still try to play a little, but now I'm more interested in my students than my own game.
Well, and a great, fantastic job I know that you're doing. I've watched some of the videos and surfed around a lot of the different social media sites and things that you're on, and I know that you do a fantastic job, and you've worked, at the highest level of the game, so I know that you're a consummate professional. I know that you want to talk about this exciting new training product on the market, and so I want to give you an opportunity, but just let's explain first off to the audience here on Golf Talk Live. First up, what is RoboGolf Pro?
RoboGolf Pro is a robotic swing trainer that will give the student the feel the instructor is trying to convey. Everybody always says, oh, I wish I knew what it felt like how Tiger swings or Rory or or possibly Jim Furyk. And mm-hmm. we can program the robot to give instant feel for any position, swinging from in to out, a fade, Sergio, creating lag, back, and I can swing it like Ben Hogan. And
right.
So it can be used as novelty, but really it's mm-hmm. for golf instruction and massively speeding up the process, because while you're on the robot, feeling it, you're actually looking at a monitor at yourself swinging with whatever teaching software you use, and you can split the screen,
right.
put your favorite professional on there, and so it's driving home. You're doing it, you're seeing it, and you're feeling it.
So it's really kind of hitting all the senses. It's not just what we traditionally used to call muscle memory and thing, which is, was something that was for years a lot of pros did, was sort of went by muscle memory. This is sort of giving you a visual feedback as well as, a feel approach as well, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and the great thing is, I could put you on a swing, a perfect swing, and whatever perfect it is. Let's just say a physics-based perfect swing. Based on mm-hmm. biomechanics for the body. And, I put you on that swing, I don't say a word, and then I put your counterpart on the same swing, and you might say, hey, this feels red, and the other guy says, hey, this feels blue, but, it's still a perfect swing. So it's kind of like me explaining to a student what lag is
right.
and trying to have him actually swing with lag. But if you give the person the feel, as soon as they step off of the robot, we don't allow you to do any practice swings, really, and we just have you swing. So it is in the muscle memory.
Right. So, and it's obviously they're getting instant feedback from this from the swing trainer as well. Now, obviously, as you had indicated, this is really meant for the teachers and coaches and instructors in the business to use with students. So it's not something that's really, being put out for the general public. This is really for the guys in the profession or some of the facilities out there, the academies and things like that, to really get one of these in their facility to be able to use. Would that be pretty accurate?
Yeah, unless they have money like you have, and I do have some guys like that would be putting them in their personal studios at their homes. But
if Warren Buffett wants to dig into his change purse and purchase one, I'm sure he could. But obviously, this is meant really to help the teaching, the teachers and the coaches and that out there to be able to make a better experience in the teaching end of it. As you said, it speeds up the process. What might have been, a several week or even month process, you can do that in a very short time. What is, from your experience using the RoboGolf Pro, what is generally a sort of a normal session time that you like to put students on?
A new student, I'd like to start off with 2 hours. This way we get all their swings program, we get to know them, and then they can come back for the traditional hour lesson, or if they're at the stage where they just want to come in for a half hour, get some reps in, like going to a gym, do some reps, take some swings, do some reps, take some swings, but, so it's, the way it works is just like a traditional lesson. The golf professional takes a before video, analyzes it on his teaching software, and then picks a swing or programs the robot accordingly to what he sees and feels that the student will get the best results. So, and then you do as many reps as your body allows you to. The pro gets in there,
right.
moves the student's whatever, knees, feet, hips, head, hands. You always need the teacher, always need a teacher, and you know, unless you're at the level where you know what you're doing.
Right.
So you get in there, you do your reps. As soon as you get off, we do the after video. And, the way I like to do it is I don't like to say much. I like to just listen to the student, hear what they say. Oh, this feels like this. This feels like that. And
right.
And make notes. And make notes. Because some of the things, because feel and real are two different things, as we all know in golf.
Right.
So I want to hear exactly what the student is saying and feeling and seeing if that's correct. And then later on I can say, okay. Because a lot of times, you know, people that are over the top, when we put them on a exaggerated inside swing, the first thing they feel is that right elbow getting tucked into the side or touching their right hip maybe. And then, you know, when I ask them to take swings like they own it and not to think, but as soon as I see something go squirrely in the swing, I can mm-hmm. see that they're thinking. And then I'll ask them, hey, what are you thinking? Oh, I was thinking about sticking my right elbow into my right hip because that's what I felt on the robot. And that's where I say, okay, so that's incorrect. You know, it's not sticking your right elbow into your right hip. It's a result
right.
of the swing being done properly from the inside or on plane.
Right. Scott, let me ask you just an example. Let's say as a new student, if I was, coming in and using this, does the – and let's say for argument's sake that – and I'll use an obvious, you know, because you've already mentioned him, but let's say, Tiger Woods, I want to swing or have a swing comparable to what he's doing, and you've got it programmed in. Does the robot then take over and sort of, you know, as I'm addressing it, does it guide me through – that swing, or do I still have to put some effort in, or does it sort of lead me to sort of feel what that swing is, and then I would sort of go from there? How does it work at that process?
Yeah, great question, because that's a great question. The robot is moving you. We don't want your swing. So, well,
you haven't seen me swing yet, Scott, so you don't know.
Well, I know. I was just going to say, maybe. I haven't seen you swing. To be honest with you. So, but yeah, the robot's moving you, and the pro is helping you move your body, and then eventually you're focused on your body. So let's say on the backswing, we're trying to get your range of motion a little deeper. We'll have you outrace the robot or the golf club, the handle, because the robot's moving you. We'll have you outrace the handle on the backswing with your chest by turning your chest as much as possible. And then we'll set the range a little deeper or further than you can actually do on your own, so it's like a workout. And then
right.
We do actually want you to engage your muscles, but eventually, yeah, you will swing with the robot because that's another, that's a fourth sensory feel because you're actually creating your small muscle twitches. I know I'm not saying it correctly, but you know you're
right.
engaging your muscles with it. And then it doesn't just do full swings; it does half swings. We can do nine
right.
different steps. We can do chipping, pitching, putting. So if you know, it's basically it's going to grow the game of golf because so many people, as you know, 50% of all golfers that get in, there's 50% that get out every year. Well, because first
right.
of all, it takes too long. It's so difficult. You know, this pro, who's the best pro in the world, tells me this thing, and now I
yep.
move away. I go to this pro, who's the best pro in the world, and he tells me something totally different. They're both great pros. They have great students, but, you know, why does it have to be different? Now we're creating some ambiguity there. And
right.
if you go on to... onto RoboGolf Pro website or Torbon Golf Academy website, there's a link there of a girl I was teaching, Lauren Benson. I don't know if you saw it, but
the blonde girl.
I saw
that. Yeah, and she actually whiffed the first shot that she was trying before she did that.
No,
yeah, I saw that one.
Not the blonde girl. That's the Back Nine Network. Yeah, that was pretty cool also. But
okay.
Lauren in the Lauren had 3 months with me. She had a corporate event she had to go to. She came in.
Okay, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She came in 3 days a week, did about 2 hours at a time, and, you know, whatever. She's younger, 30-something, and was able to just do massive reps. But if you look at the transition of her swings to the end of the third month, and I think it's on the website, at the showing her swinging, it looks like she's on a robot, or she looks like a professional. Her swing plane is spot on, and it's just really cool. I mean, I can take somebody that's massively over the top, put them on a Jim Furyk swing for 10 swings, 15 swings, whatever, and they get off, take a swing, and it's night and day. I mean, it's not like, you know, the great thing about this, it's not like, oh, I wonder if this is going to change this person. It's exciting because every person you put on the robot, you know that their eyes are going to light up and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe. Is that really what it's supposed to feel like? You know, it's like a drug. They want to get right back on the robot, which they should. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many golf balls you beat. It doesn't matter at all because one golf ball might be a perfect golf swing and the ball goes sideways. The next golf swing could be crummy and the ball goes perfect. So your brain is thinking, that was good. You know, now you're doing, you know, perfect reps. And when I say perfect reps, so let's just say someone's massively laid off and they're trying to get back to playing. You know, I'll exaggerate it. You know, I do everything in massive exaggerations to get them back to neutral. And, you know, and then we just monitor it. You know, also we have them set up with their own golf club underneath the robot and watching in the monitor, trace the robot swing. And then when they go practice, they say, oh, you know, how do I practice these moves without a robot? Well, you do the same. You trace the robot, and then you look at your videos, and you do the same exaggerated moves. It's awesome. Are you going to be at the show?
I was just actually talking to Lloyd, who was my previous guest. I'm planning on coming down for the Thursday and the Friday, and I'm going to get to the show in a few minutes because I know that you're going to be down there and want to let the listeners know about that. But I've had some things come up recently, so I'm not 100% sure, so I won't know until almost the last minute. But I'm planning on being there the Thursday and Friday, and if I do, I'll make sure that I stop by and check things out. But let me ask you just before we go down that area with the show. Obviously, this is a training aid that can be used, you know, virtually by anybody. But how do you sort of explain the differences and how it benefits? For example, there's obviously different types of learning patterns. For instance, some players are better at feel, some are better at visual. How does this training aid address both of those issues? I know obviously you can see video and you can see yourself and your image in that, but how does it help the player that maybe, let's start with the feel person and then let's move on to somebody that's more of a visual learning. How does that that swing trainer help them?
Well, I mean, we're all obviously both, we're all field players. No matter what, we are all field players. Even if someone says I'm not, you know. Now, I mean, we all have feelings except for my ex-girlfriend. And, you know, the visual part, the visual part just drives home the feeling. It's a hard question, but a lot of times I've been teaching a gentleman with the director of instruction at Pebble Beach, Laird Small, and this gentleman is Tom Sullivan, who's totally blind, and Laird's been teaching him for the last 25 years, I believe, and Laird sent him to me to put him on the robot, and when he got off the robot, he just kept saying, "Oh yeah, I see, I see how this is." And I'm like, "Tom, what are you talking about? You see, can you really see? Are you messing with me?" You know, I didn't say it like that. I said it a different way, and I can tell you later. But you know, and he's just telling me, "Yeah, can't see. That's how he feels." You know, he actually is seeing through the feel. And, you know, so another way that I work with beginners is we do massive reps, because the challenge is, you know, everybody says, I have a great practice swing, and then when I go hit the ball, well, you know, they just said it. That's spot on. The golf swing is a golf swing, and a golf hit is totally different. You know, so a golf hit is basically one that takes it over the top. So if I take somebody and put them on massive amounts of reps and turn them into a Tiger Woods golf swing, and they step up to a golf ball, and I say, "Hey, Joe, I want you to hit that ball as hard as you can," his golf swing is going to be massively over the top. He's going to stick the club in the ground. He's going to come out of posture. You know, so we have to change the way people think. You know, you don't hit a golf ball. It's a golf. The ball just gets in the way. So what I do with my beginners and non-beginners, but after they do their massive reps, I have them go through the setup routine to a target, look at the target, look at the back of the ball, close their eyes, and swing. And I'm telling you, nine and a half out of 10 times, it is the best shot they've ever hit in their life. It's awesome, because it's muscle memory. I mean, they're just repeating something they felt, and the ball's just getting in the way. You don't have to hit a golf ball.
Now, compare this to the Robo Golf Pro, because you mentioned this earlier about, you know, obviously you're incorporating video along with it, but compare this to using just a straight video analysis as opposed to using this particular device here, the Swing Trainer. Explain the differences, the advantages that a student is going to get using the Robo Golf Pro as opposed to just going out. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, obviously video analysis has a purpose in that, but what are some of the differences that they're going to experience?
They're going to experience the feel and the feedback of how it should feel.
Mm-hmm.
So as well
as the visual.
Yeah, as well as the visual. And then, you know, and then when they see the after swing, when we show them the before video and the after, it just drives it home even more. Oh, yeah, that is correct. You know, you take someone that's taken a lot of lessons and is lost or a professional, and he doesn't believe anybody anymore, you know, I don't have to say anything. All I have to do is have them do the reps, get off the robot, set up to a golf ball, swing, and have them see the ball flight, look at the stats on the track, man, look at the video, and I don't have to say a word. Look, if we take, let's take David Duval. Let's say we programmed his swing in when he was number one player in the world, shot 59, and now he's lost. And we put him on the robot. It's going to wake up, you know, the brain cells. It's going to wake him up and give him the feel, you know, and hopefully he'll go back out there and be that player again. So the neat thing at the Nature Valley Senior Tour event at Pebble Beach was putting the tour players on. We had Tom Kite on, Bruce Fleischer, who else? I can't even think right now. But, you know, when I had Fleischer on there, Fleischer's like, "Man, does that feel weird?" And all he said was it felt weird at the top swing. And I said, "Well, this is why it feels weird, Bruce." And I pulled up his swing because he was a little laid off at the top of the swing, I think, at the swing that I pulled up of him. He's like, "Yeah, I'm seeing it in the monitor. I see it right there. It's perfect, you know." And, we had Johnny Miller on there as well. We had Johnny Miller do a Jim Furyk swing, a Lee Trevino swing, a couple other swings. but it's just it's amazing the feedback. So basically, you know, I'm obviously trying to help my students play better golf and make better contact. That's the biggest thing I'm looking at is impact. And so
right.
if someone's, you know, most amateurs are constantly hitting behind it and they don't compress it. So I put them on I moved the release point way forward on the robot, maybe add a little lag, and instantly after they get off that, they set up to the ball. They're either topping it at first, but then they start compressing it. They start hitting the ball and then the ground, and it's a feeling. They turn around and look at you like it's just a great it's a great feeling for me to see the excitement in my students' eyes. And I didn't have to say anything. That's even better.
Right. Well, I noticed, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because when I was watching some of the video that you did, you know, that you've got up on YouTube, which, by the way, if you want to see some of Scott's videos, you can do that by going to the Tourbound Golf Academy website, and you'll see some video there. And also, he's on, you know, he's got a YouTube channel there that you can check out some of the video as well, and there's some great ones. But I noticed in probably 99.9% of the video that you did, you barely said a word. And I found that interesting because normally in you know, instruction, you're giving direction and things like that, but the machine obviously is able to do a lot of the things that you would normally do. You're just really there as a guide and sort of helping them through the process, which brings me to a point from an instructor's standpoint. Let's take it out of the student's hands for a second. Let's say for an instructor that wants to get familiar with this, maybe has never used this, how easy is it for them to operate and understand how everything plays together to be able to work? It's much like, let's say, as an example, you know, when some of the other technology came out with TrackMan and things like that, there's sort of a training time or familiarity period. How easy is the Robo Golf Pro robotic swing trainer? How easy is it for a coach or instructor to sort of learn how the ins and outs work before he wants to, you know, sort of take it out for a test run?
Normally, I can have somebody train in a day, but I do a week with most academies. But yeah, it's not that difficult. If you know how to teach and you're
right.
used to using computer video,
right.
it's simple. And there's pre-programmed swings in there as well. So I mean, mm-hmm. if someone's swinging way into out and you accidentally put them on a more into out, that's the only way you can screw up. But I mean, it's
right.
someone's in out, and you just want to pick something that's out to in. It's mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty simple.
So it's a fairly yeah. simple process. Well, that's good, and that's something. Where can the average golfer see the Robo Golf Pro in action? Where can they go if somebody's interested in checking out this particular training swing trainer? Where can they go to check it out?
So we have the Tourbound Golf Academy in downtown Chicago, and that's an indoor facility that's set up like a private country club. It's Tourbound Golf Academy inside Play 18 Chicago. So we have 6 PGA Tour simulators, a bar, pool table, fitness area, and it's set up like a country club. It's beautiful, actually.
Right.
And the next place you can go is the new Pebble Beach Golf Academy that I have to fly back during the PGA show for the ribbon cutting ceremony on the 23rd. We'll have two robots at the Pebble Beach Golf Academy. I have one here now that we've been one of our prototypes that we've been using. Then you can go to Tourbound Golf Academy in Seattle, and you can look online for that address with our director of instruction, Jeff Shaw. He owns that academy, and then we will have one in Canada that'll be shipping there when we get back from Pebble Beach. And then we also have one at Del Mar Country Club in the Carlsbad area, California, with
right.
The head golf professional there is Garrett Dagg, and Director of Instruction and Director of Golf there is John Cochran. So right now those are the places, and then at the PGA show we'll be at Demo Days, so you can come take a test drive on it there, and then we'll be our booth number is 2281. And I believe
2281. Okay.
Yeah, I believe we're right next to the Golf Channel, and we'll have Doug Sanders will be there for some autograph and picture taking. John McGinnis, PGA Tour Radio, will be doing some interviewing with us and signing autographs. And I don't know if you want a picture with John. That might not be good. And just kidding, John.
I'm seeing here. I'm looking at the press release right here, and you've got Doug Sanders. It's showing here, and I'm assuming this is correct. It's showing booth number 221.
221.
Yeah, 221 is what it was showing in the press release here. It's showing here. I don't know if that's a typo, but if it that's what it's showing in the thing. I just was looking at it here. I was just trying to get the dates and that. It looks like it's going to be.
I think it's 2281. Yeah.
2281. Okay. That's going to be on. It looks like. Yeah, your demo day is scheduled for Tuesday, January 21st, at the Orange County National Golf Center and Lodge in Orlando, and you'll be showcasing the RoboGolf Pro for PGA professionals and VIP retailers. So they want to make sure they stop down and take a look at that while you're there. And then obviously they get an opportunity to meet golf legend Doug Sanders at booth 2281 on January 22nd at 1 p.m. And he, of course, as everyone knows, was the winner of 20 PGA Tour events, and he'll be testing out his swing on the RoboGolf Pro and sharing some stories of his professional career. And then it looks like on Wednesday, from Wednesday, January 22nd to Friday, January 24th, Tourbound Golf Academy will be demonstrating the RoboGolf Pro at, again, booth number 2281 alongside their partners, Heller Productions, Inc., at the Orange County Convention Center. And if they're interested, they can tweet at RoboGolfPro to book exclusive times. So it looks like you got everything well set up there for the PGA show, and I'm going to make sure if everything goes right, if all the stars are aligned and I make it down there, that I stop by in those days and check out the RoboGolf Pro. Scott, I want to thank you for coming on this evening and sharing a little bit about that. And I'm going to actually talk to you after the show at some point, and I'm going to get some information from you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up on the Golf Talk Live website some information about that, because obviously in addition to some regular high handicap golfers that tune into the program, a lot of PGA and other professionals tune into the program as well. So if they're interested in learning more information, I'll put some links up on my website to direct them back to you if they want to know more about the RoboGolf Pro.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to. I'll shoot you some emails before and after.
Okay. And also one other thing, because I know that you – one of the things, and I always do this to any of the instructors that come on that teach, we're starting a new segment in March, and you don't have to give me any sort of commitments right here, but I just want to throw this out there for you to think about between now and the next time we talk. There's a new segment that I'm starting on the program in March of this year called Coach's Corner, and I would love to maybe have you participate in that. And basically what it's going to be is I'm going to have a panel of a number of different instructors that are going to be coming on the Golf Talk Live program, and it'll be a live call-in format, so some golfers out there that need help with their game. And this might be an interesting thing for you to talk about, the swing trainer, and maybe drum up some additional business, but it'd be a good opportunity to bring that angle to the panel, if you will. So if you're interested in participating in that, I'll send you a little more information and the dates that it's going to be available. And if you want to participate, Scott, I would love to have you as part of one of the panels.
That's great. I'd like to commit now, and I'd love to bring in the Laird, who's the top 100 teacher, and the professional staff here at Pebble Beach, and all my guys, actually. So that'd be great.
Well, that sounds great. I would love to have you. So I'll send you some more information about that after. But
yeah, definitely.
But Scott, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. And just to give a quick rundown again, where can people get in touch with you if they want to know more about it, or if they want to work with you and the RoboGolf Pro, where can they get in touch with you personally if they need to?
It's Scott Nye, S-C-O-T, one T, the other T is in the ground, N-E-I, so my
Nice.
First and last name, at RoboGolfPro.com. And they can shoot me a text also at area code 847-636-0167. And, yeah, we'd love to get as many people to experience it as possible. It's unbelievable, seriously. I mean, it's unreal. And it's only going to get better with some changes we have coming up. And then I just wanted to thank the staff and the girls at Holler Production and also the girls at Freehand for helping me out, and everybody that's pitched in to help make the PGA Show a great success, as well as yourself.
Well, I'm always glad to help. I found it to be a great product to have out there. I mean, any time that you know, a fellow teacher can get together and help one another, you know, with some new exciting technology, and especially this is definitely very innovative, and I really like the product. And definitely wanted to share a little bit about that. And obviously, you can't get into everything, you know, in a format like this. There's just too much information. So obviously, you know, I want to encourage people that are going to be down in Orlando next week to make sure that they stop by booth number 2281 throughout the PGA Merchandising Show down in Orlando and check out the RoboGolf Pro robotic swing trainer with Scott and his group. And make sure that you go down there and check it out. I think it's a fantastic product, and I'm very happy to have you reach out to me and come on Golf Talk Live. I appreciate you spending the time with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, you have to experience it. This is not something words can explain.
Yeah, and that's true, and I understand that. And you know, obviously, in radio-type format, it's hard visually, so I want to encourage people to obviously – visit the websites that Scott had mentioned, and again, Scott, I'll get that information from you again at a later point, and I'll get that up on the website so that people that are surfing around on my website can have a look and check it out as well if they're not able to make it down to the show next week. But Scott, again, I want to thank you. Scott Nye is the Director of Instruction for Tourbound Golf Academy, and also a professional golfer, and got a great product, Scott, and I wish much continued success, and you're welcome to come back anytime on Golf Talk Live.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, and I hope to see you next week down at the show.
Yes, sir. Keep it in the short grass.
All right, for sure. Thank you very much. My special guest tonight, Scott Nye. All right, thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, sir.
All right,
ciao.
Bye-bye. Okay, for those of you that tuned in a little bit later in the program, I'm going to wrap up. I just have a couple of announcements to make, and then I'm going to end the broadcast tonight. Just to again, thank both of my guests this evening. My first guest a little earlier on the first half of the program was Lloyd Higley, who is the Director of Instruction up in Chicago, Illinois, at the Pure Strike Five Simple Swing Keys. And part of the Medicus team, and he also teaches down in Orlando in the cooler months when it's a little too cold, which I'm sure it's been up in Chicago this year. They've had some cold weather, but so I know he was eager to get down to Orlando in October. He said to get down there and start working with some of the students, and of course he's gearing up to have a great time at the PGA Show next week, which I hope to make it down as well. So I want to thank Lloyd Higley for joining me tonight and sharing a little bit with the listeners here on Golf Talk Live. I know that we have a great audience from around the world, and I'm going to thank you in just a moment. And I also want to thank my second special guest this evening, the Director of Instruction at Tourbound Golf Academy, Mr. Scott W.R. Nye. Scott, as I mentioned, is a very top teaching professional, and he's got a great product that he's been talking about here a little bit tonight. And as we just discussed, you know, obviously we can't get into everything here on the air, but it was just to give you a little bit of a taste, and I certainly want you to check out his websites and have a look for yourself. But it's called RoboGolf Pro, Robotic Swing Trainer, and you can check it out on his website at www.tourboundgolfacademy.com. There's some great pictures there, and there's some video there as well tells you a little bit about that and tells you a little bit about Scott as well. So make sure that you check that out. So I want to thank Scott as well for coming on the program. And as promised at the beginning of the show, I wanted to let you know what's new for 2014. For those of you that weren't able to tune in last week, beginning March 6th of this year, we're going to be introducing a new segment here called Coach's Corner, which will start the show each week, each Thursday night. It will start actually the first hour of the show, and then the second half of the show, of course, I'll have another guest from the golf industry on here to talk a little bit about their area and craft. But beginning March 6th of this year will be Coach's Corner, and this will have you, my listening audience, have an opportunity to call or email your questions to the program and to be able to pick the brains of some of the best coaches and teaching pros in the business. Each week I'll have a different panel of coaches, and we'll average three coaches per week just to keep it simple, but at the same time give you guys an opportunity to pick the brains of more than one coach, and obviously I'm going to chime in with some comments as well. So we'll cover a new topic each week. We'll have a primary topic, we'll be part of it, but then we'll also be able to take some questions. And I encourage you weekend warriors out there that are looking to improve your game, I really want you guys to engage. And so make sure that you start spreading the word that March 6th, Coach's Corner will begin, and I've already got the panel loaded up for that week, for that Thursday night. The show starts at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com, so make sure that you tune in at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, Thursday, March 6th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that will run the full first hour of the program. So make sure that you get the number down. The number, I'll give it to you as I close out the program. So be sure to call in during the live broadcast. It's live from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time every Thursday here on Golf Talk Live. And for those of you that maybe want to participate but maybe aren't available to call in or listen to the live broadcast, I've set something up for you you listeners who tune in at a later time and listen to the recorded version. You can send in ahead of time, and I want you to start doing that now. Let's start getting some questions lined up. March is going to come around the corner real quick. You can send your questions to questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. Send those in beforehand so I can read them out live on the air. And make sure that you include your name and where you're from and maybe a little bit about yourself. And we're going to probably and also include I'm certainly not going to read this part on the air, but include a way that we can contact you, because throughout the year we're going to be giving away some prizes and things like that to some of the people that are participating in the Coach's Corner segment. So make sure that you provide that contact information as well. So, again, the number that you can call in during the live broadcast is area code 646-716-4667. That's, again, area code 646-716-4667. That you can call in during that live broadcast, which is Thursdays at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time when the show starts. Or if you're not available to do that, you can send in your questions for the Coach's Corner panel to questions.golftalklive@gmail.com. And as I said, we'll read them out live on the air. Also coming up in 2014, a little something for the ladies beginning in April. Again, I don't have the exact start date. It's probably going to be around the 8th or so in that range. I'll be joined by, of course, none other than LPGA professional Cindy Miller. She'll be joining me here as a co-host on a brand new Golf Talk Live program. It'll be on an entirely different day and different time. And as I said, I'll keep you updated on that. But it's called the Women of Golf. And the Women of Golf program will tackle many of the important topics facing women in the golf industry today, everything from, of course, equipment to coaching, health, of course, and physical fitness, and how they can get themselves in shape to play the best golf. And of course, we're going to tackle some issues such as accessibility, or rather lack of accessibility to still some of these courses out there, and to the golf industry in general. There's still a lot of headway has been made over the years, but there's still a lot of challenges for the ladies out there. So Cindy and I are going to be tackling some of those topics. So make sure that you tune in April. And again, I'll keep you posted on the specific start dates, but make sure you tune in April of this year, and I'll be joined, as I said, by none other than LPGA professional Cindy Miller for the new Golf Talk Live program called Women of Golf. So make sure you tune into that. And we're going to be also speaking with some not only some players from the LPGA Tour, but also some women in the corporate world, in the golf world. So make sure that you stay tuned for updates on the Women of Golf. I want to close out the show tonight with, of course, a special thank you to my sponsors. But first, I want to thank and take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners worldwide for faithfully tuning in each and every week to Golf Talk Live. I can't emphasize enough how much I appreciate that. It certainly is a pleasure, and I enjoy bringing some of the great people that I have on every week. Lots of teaching professionals, of course, but others in the golf industry. And I want to bring that and share that with you. Obviously, you know, going into some of the different social media sites and things like that, such as Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, has given me access to others in the business besides myself. And I wanted to create this program, Golf Talk Live, and share that with you. And there's a lot of great people coming up this year. We're going to have some new people as well as some old ones coming back to participate in the Coach's Corner, and also are going to be coming on the Women of Golf program as well when we get that situated. So lots of great things happening in the new year, and we're going to certainly have a much more interactive and engaging audience out there. We want to get you guys involved. So don't be afraid to call into the program. You can call in anytime during the live broadcast. As I said, it's every Thursday night on Golf Talk Live, which is on blogtalkradio.com between the hours of 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And for you East Coasters, that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we want to make sure that you guys stay engaged and not just sit there and listen, but feel free to call in at any point throughout that live broadcast and pose any questions. Or if you have topics, if there's maybe somebody that you know that's in the golf business, an instructor that you've been working with that you think would be a great asset to come on the program and share some of their knowledge, always happy to do that as well. So I just want to thank you all again. It certainly is a pleasure and enjoyment of having the number of highly talented coaches and teaching professionals, as well as some great authors and entrepreneurs, stop by the Golf Talk Live show and share their information with you. Through their participation and guest appearances, they certainly have helped to make Golf Talk Live a first-class show. The audience is continually growing and expanding, and there's many great people out there that are help spreading the word. So please, I hope you'll continue to do that. I hope you continue to tune in each and every week. And, of course, I want to take this time to also give a special thanks to some of the people who have sponsored the show through their support. First and foremost, I want to thank Mr. Jonathan Laird of South Coast Golf Guide, who has been a great supporter of the Golf Talk Live program. And his guide, his new one has just come out in January, the latest edition. It's a great golf guide. If you're down in the southeastern part of the United States and you want to find out some great courses to play, you want to visit your local course or visit one of your local golf clubs or resorts in the area in the southeastern part of the United States, from Mississippi right over to here in Florida, and pick up yourself a copy of the South Coast Golf Guide. And that's Mr. Jonathan Laird is the owner and publisher of that fine magazine, and it's a great little guide to get your hot little hands on. There's some great great courses out in the area, and right here in Panama City Beach we have some great courses. The Ombre, which of course has been notorious for being part of the Stage 2 qualifying of the PGA Tour. Lots of great people, including Mike Weir from Canada has been here, and Mr. Hubert Green, of course, has been involved over the years. And just a great, some of the great courses, and lots of others in the area. So make sure you pick yourself up a copy of South Coast Golf Guide. I know Jonathan would appreciate it. And for those of you that are interested in advertising in the South Coast Golf Guide, you can get in touch with Jonathan at jonathan@southcoastgolfguide.com. You can send him an email, let him know that I sent you, and we can get you set up there if you want to do some advertising in there. It's a great publication, and it's been active in the golf industry now for 20 years, so he's got a well-established publication here in the southeastern part of the United States. I also want to send a special thank you to the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina America, Mrs. Meredith Kirk of Meredith Kirk Golf. She's also been a big supporter of the program, and she also is involved in her own publication, The Endless Golf, a Myrtle Beach magazine. That's also, I believe, the latest copy is going to be coming out this month, I believe, sometime or possibly early next month. So if you're planning on going to the Myrtle Beach area, you want to make sure, and you can get that actually online at Endless Golf, I believe endlessgolf.com, and you can check it, or you can actually visit Meredith Kirk. .com, and there's a link on there for that as well. But I want to thank Meredith for doing that. And she was just crowned, as I said, late last year, the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina America. She won that very prestigious honor,
and we'll wear that crown for the next year. So want to much continued success to Meredith. I also want to thank some special people on Facebook, notable professional himself, Nikki Litherland, and, of course, Tiffany Litherland, for all your help in spreading the word about the show. I appreciate it each and every week for all of the comments and help pass and spreading this word not only here in the United States but to some of your friends back in Australia. I appreciate that. And, of course, I want to also send out a special thank you to another supporter of the program, Mr. Bernie Pinder, the founder and owner of Ontic Golf. He's going to be down at the PGA show next week as well. Has a fabulous line of custom putters, and he is the owner and founder of Ontic Golf. So you want to make sure that you go down and say hello to Bernie for me, and I'm going to do the same when I'm down there. And also reaching across the pond, as always, I'd like to give a little shout-out to Mr. Peter Doyle of Doyle Golf Solutions over in Ireland. He's going to be at the PGA show next week. In fact, I've got a time to set to meet him as well. He's been a big supporter and has always tuned into the program and helped spread the words as well. So I want to thank you guys for all your continued support and just the many other people that tune in each and every week that that help circulate the word. I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much for doing so. Once again, I want to thank my guest tonight, Mr. Lloyd Higley, Director of Instruction from Chicago, Illinois, and also the Director of Instruction and Professional Golfer, Mr. Scott W.R. Nye, with the Robo Golf Pro Robotic Swing Trainer. They're both going to be down at the PGA show next week, so make sure that you check them out and stop by and say hello. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in each and every week. And just to remind everybody that if you want to tune into the live broadcast, it live on blogtalkradio.com every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and generally runs through to 8 p.m. Standard Time. If you want to call into the program during the live performance, you can call me at area code 646-716-4667. Or if you want to reach out and don't want to call on the program, but you want to reach out to me, maybe you're in the golf business or you just want to say hello or have got some great topic ideas to have on the program, you can do so by emailing me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Or if you happen to be on Facebook tonight and you want to visit the Facebook page, that's at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. Make sure you have the blog on the end there, so it's Golf Talk Live Blog, and go on there and like us on Facebook. I appreciate that. And to all my Twitter followers out there, thank you for continuing to follow me and for joining me each and every week and listening and reading the tweets that I put out there about the program. If you're interested in following me on Twitter, I hope some more of you will do that tonight. And my Twitter handle is Ted and Buck, and that's TEDANDBUCK CEO, capital CEO. That's Ted and Buck CEO is my Twitter handle. Appreciate it for all of you that have followed me these last few months and that particularly who've joined in and started following. And, of course, I want you to visit the Golf Talk Live blog at www.golftalkliveblog.com. Check out some of the great products and some of the books that have been featured here on Golf Talk Live. Some great authors that have got some good books and more on the way. I'm going to be doing some interviews in the next month or so with some new authors that have got some interesting golf books out there. So I want to make sure that you check those out as well. And I'll be posting those as they come about up on the blog as well. So again, make sure that you visit www.golftalkliveblog.com. And make sure that you tune in every Thursday night. That's every Thursday night, with exception of a few holidays throughout the year. I do have to take a break once in a while. Make sure you follow me here at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. And you can actually follow the program if you want to get updates instantly and messaged to remind you. You can get show reminders if you go onto the main page there at blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. There is a follow button. If you click that follow button, it will actually send you a direct message to your inbox to let you know when the show is about to start. It gives you earlier in the day, and then it gives you, I think, just before the show goes live. So if you want to do that, that's a great way to keep updated as well. I know we're all busy out there, so that's a great way to do it. So thank you again for the guests that came on this evening, Lloyd Higley and Scott Nye. Thanks, guys, for coming on Golf Talk Live and sharing your great words of wisdom with my listeners here in Golf Talk Live.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and I will see you back here, hopefully, if everything goes well and I make it down to the PGA show next week. Next week, my special guest will be PGA professional Michael Wheeler. He's going to be down at the show next week, and hopefully we'll have some great things to share with you about an upcoming young man, Michael, who's going to be out teaching with the rest of us out there. But also he's going to be checking out the golf show as well, and hopefully we'll have some great great things to report to you next week. So have a great weekend again, everybody, and I will see you back here on January 23rd here on Golf Talk Live. God bless, and have a great evening.